Welcome everyone to the Peace Alliance Hope Story Circles. We're so delighted to see all of you here. If you're listening on the podcast, Peace On, welcome as well. Peace On is your source for inspiring conversations and information from thought leaders across the spectrum on topics related to the strategies of building peace, fostering nonviolence, and creating a world that thrives, shifting our understanding toward empathy, compassion, and connection. And we're so delighted to see all of you here. My name is Terry Mason. I'm on the board of the Peace Alliance, and I'm joined to facilitate by Liz Gannon-Graydon, who's also on the board, and Yelena Popovich, who is our Teaching Peace in Schools lead. We also are delighted to see our special guest today. Her name is Nina Barreto, and Nina has taught public elementary school in the San Francisco Bay Area for 20 years. She's currently a lead teacher for Mindful Schools, an organization that empowers educators to infuse learning communities with mindfulness and equity. And Nina also supports raising collective consciousness of humanity through her work as a quantum healer and creator of Into the Forest Revelations. We welcome you, Nina. You can unmute yourself. There you go.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you. It's really an honor and a pleasure to be with you here today.
Wonderful. Before we get started, do you want to speak a little bit about Into the Forest Revelations, just to get everybody acclimated?
Yeah. So Into the Forest Revelations is an organization that I created. It's actually the product of the pandemic. I use my creative energy to put into that. So I am a quantum healer, which means that I do past life regressions with people. And it's a wonderful, magical way to get in touch with different realms, different parts of ourselves that are holding wisdom that can unlock greater understanding for our lives right now. So a lot of people have been coming to me in this time to seek, like, what is my life's purpose? What am I meant to be doing right now? So yeah, that is my passion. And I have definitely had major shifts through my own work with quantum healing.
Wonderful. That sounds fascinating. Well, thank you for sharing that. And with that, I'd just like everyone to take a breath. And Nina, would you like to lead us in a short meditation before you tell your story?
Yes, I would love to.
Thank you.
So wherever you're at right now, just finding a posture that feels supportive to you, whether that's sitting down or standing, or even laying down, whatever feels right for your body to be in this moment. And if you're upright, just connecting with that sense of grounding and also rising at the same time. Especially if you're sitting down, that grounding can be in the lower part of your body, and that uplift in the upper torso. And just if you feel like it, you can close your eyes or you can let them gaze softly down. Just being with yourself right now, honoring this special time that you get to be with your body, your breath, your thoughts, your feelings, whatever sounds are around you. And noticing, out of all of those things I just listed, breath, body, sound, feelings, thoughts, what is arising for you right now? Does your breath feel like something you'd like to attune to? Does a certain body sensation feel like an anchor for you right now? Or is there a sound in the room that you'd like to listen to? Whatever is arising, just see if you can attune to that for the moment. And then just dropping in the inquiry, the question, is there anything that feels tight, sticky, or heavy that is asking to be let go of, even just for this moment? Can I sort of release that which I'm holding just a little bit? Perhaps allow it to move into the background. If there's some heavy thought or intense feeling, just moving it to the background for right now. And then coming back to that stability that speaks to you in the moment, again, whether it's the breath or the body, tuning back into that anchor. Letting it stabilize and nourish you and steady you. And then just inviting some tenderness in for the self. Maybe even putting a hand to your heart, if that feels right. Feeling into the space of the heart. Feeling what's there. Is there joy? Is there sadness? Is there melancholy? Is there lightness? Or maybe a neutral or numb feeling or no feeling. Just offering some compassion, some love for all of the qualities that might be there. There might be many in your heart right now, side by side. And then laying this question in the heart, can I tend to what's in my heart right now with care? And then just letting that question soften and sink into the body, relaxing and returning to your anchor of choice. Maybe resting your hand back down, just resting and receiving instead of leaning in and doing. Resting and receiving whatever you need to in these final moments of our meditation. And permitting just a little gratitude to permeate this soft awareness, appreciation that we can be with our hearts in this way, noticing and releasing what wants to go, holding with care that which wants to stay, honoring many things at once. And then when you're ready, just gently awakening yourself back into your space and time, and opening your eyes if they were closed, welcoming perhaps a gentle smile to your lips, and now fully arriving back to the present. So now we've really arrived. Yeah. And even just taking a moment to notice your quality of being now compared to, say, 10 minutes ago, whatever subtle shifts may or may not have happened. And seeing if you can carry whatever was cultivated in those few minutes together into the rest of this time. Having that awareness and that attunement to listening to the self and to others. So I am excited to share my story with you all. And when I was invited to do that, I thought, which story? Which story? So we all have lots of stories within us, especially as we move through our lives with wisdom and age. So we carry stories with us, stories of identity, stories of love, stories of loss and rebirth. And some of our stories are defining, and some of them we're embarrassed that are part of us. I am a Punjabi Salvadoran woman, born and raised in the San Francisco Bay Area. And I wear that story like a badge. Yes, I'm very proud to have that identity story.
Hey, Nina, if someone is not on mute, Judy, it might be you. For some reason, I'm unable to mute you. We're getting background noise.
There we go. All right. And so, yeah, growing up in the Bay Area in a very diverse place, that's part of my identity story. And that story encompasses lots of other little stories. So the story of my dad coming to this country in the late 60s on a visa for college. He came from India, and his first job to pay for his college tuition was picking peaches in the Central Valley, a region that looked very similar to where he was born and raised in northern India. I carry the story of my maternal grandmother, who at her tallest was probably 5 feet tall. She's a tiny woman who came from a tiny country of El Salvador, and she lived in the foothills of a volcano and came here in her 30s and created a new life for herself. I know stories of my ancestors a couple generations back, and they involve hard things like suicide and genocide and losing children and borders being redrawn and displacement, and also stories of forbidden love and crossing continents. So I carry pieces of all of them with me. I carry the stubborn determination I've inherited from some of my lineage, and also this boundless heart of loving anyone and everyone that I'm culturally not supposed to, or kind of defying tradition. So these are my where I'm from stories. And as I've grown into myself, other stories have bloomed. So that of becoming an elementary school teacher, and oh my goodness, every day is a story in a classroom, little stories of connection and hardship and growth. And even a school year is a marathon from start to finish with peaks and pits along the way. And my story of becoming a mom three times over, again, a proud mom of boys, each of my boys having their own special birth stories and their own rhythm of relating to the world and what they have helped me see and attune to with their own unique personalities. But most recently, the stories that I have been holding close to my heart are those of love and grief simultaneously. So a couple years back, I was completely honored to receive the gift of meeting the love of my life. And I met him at the time that he was dying of cancer. So love and grief were parallel at the same time. After he passed, I realized that I wanted to realign my life to better invite in anything that was happy and joyful. And I didn't want to do anything that wasn't right for me anymore. I knew enough pain and unhappiness that now was the time to live my life. So I left my comfort of my diverse Bay Area city, where I actually had been teaching in the same exact elementary school I went to as a child. I think I was teaching in my third grade classroom, by the way. So I was very comfortable there, blooming where I had been planted, but it was time to try something different and go to a new place, start a new life where maybe it wasn't as stressful and there weren't as many people. And so I moved to the countryside, to Southern Oregon, and I didn't know anybody. And so I left behind the story of my identity and this and that. I had no friends and nobody I knew there. And I was really excited to just start a new chapter of my life. When I came here, all I told people was that I was a widow and I was a writer. And anything else beyond that, I didn't go into detail. And so that's what I attuned to in creating my new life. And the grief story was a big one for me. I really wanted people to offer me comfort and words of wisdom. And I joined as many grief groups as I could. And I really thrived in that realm. And I realized that this grief story was such an amazing, gift to see my role in the world. And it also was a very heavy story. So listening to other people's stories of grief and holding it all at some point just became too heavy. And at one point, I remember the day when I was lying on my couch and I had gone to a grief group the night before and someone had shared a very, very personal, intense story. And I couldn't handle my own grief and then thinking of hers too. And I couldn't get off the couch. And I said, this is too much. So at what point is this story asking to be released so that I can move through it and invite more lightness into my life? What am I attuning to all the time? So I started, I started doing things that were more joyful and not completely letting go of the grief, but just like shifting myself so that I wasn't orienting to it all the time. It did color my world, but it wasn't, it didn't define who I was. So yeah, by releasing that story, it created such this wonderful, beautiful, brilliant place in myself. It created space. It created space for so much more. I realized I had been limiting myself through that. I realized that I could open myself up to possibility for whatever my soul wanted to do in this lifetime. And my only roadmap being what lights me up. And it's been wonderful. Since I let go of that story, I have been following things that bring me joy and I have been manifesting amazing abundance through that. So my work teaching mindfulness. I started doing it a tiny, tiny bit. And then I thought, you know, I love doing this. Wonder if I could do more of that. Suddenly I'm doing it all the time. Wanting a dog. And then, oh, I wonder if I could have a dog. And suddenly all the senior sweet old dogs have found me. And it's like, you know, so everything I'm grateful for just multiplies now. And it's because there's space for it. You know, there's a space in my system to receive it. I have let go of this story of, I am going to learn life lessons through hardship. I am going to learn life's lessons through loss, through struggle, through, look at me, I've overcome this. I can learn through love and awareness and gentleness and soft moments of connection and joy and connecting to my heart every day and noticing what's there and releasing what doesn't need to be there. This is like the meditation I offered you today is something I do all the time. I do it in big ways and in small ways, but noticing what's there, holding it, and seeing what needs to be held with care and love, and then letting go of that which does not serve me. So yeah, it's this beautiful rhythm of noticing the stories and letting them go when they're asking to be let go. So yeah, in this way, we create a much more beautiful, aligned, heart-centered life that is enjoyable. And it may sound really awesome to say, I've overcome all these things. And it also may feel really good to be like, I am just aligned with stability and nourishment and things that light me up. And I can learn through that as well. So that's a glimpse of my story, which is really full of lots of stories. And I offer you this insight of holding on and moving through and letting go. And our stories can define us, and they can also be released when we notice they're asking to be let go of.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Yes. Yeah, so the inquiry that we're going to go with, based on everything you just shared, Nina, is what are the stories that need to be released in order to make space for lightness? What are the stories that need to be released in order to make space for lightness? And we're going to go into breakout rooms. For those of you who have not been part of our Hope Story Circles before, the system will break you into a room with two other people. I try to make three people in every room. Sometimes I don't succeed, but we'll try to get into breakout rooms, and you'll just have some time to spend to share with one another. And our agreements are to speak from your heart and listen with your heart, listen deeply. And also say just enough and trust that you know what to say. And last is keep confidentiality. You'll be in the rooms that are not being recorded. And if there's something very personal, that's a confidential space. That's a sacred, safe space for you. And then we'll come back together and share whatever is alive to be shared. So I'm going to pause the recording right now, and then we'll be back. All right. Well, welcome back, everyone. Nice to see you all. So what is alive for people? What came out of that conversation? What are the stories that need to be released in order to make space for lightness? What came up for folks? Who wants to share? Unmute yourself.
I'll share. It's Jocelyn Julie.
Hi, Columbia, Jocelyn.
Hi. So this is my first effort, and I was with Tara and Judy, and they were wonderful in creating a good space for me to speak, and I'm very appreciative. Thank you both. Great job. I shared with them that I'm at a point in my life where I'm just trying to manage everything. And I came to the realization that I just am incapable of doing all those things and still taking care of myself. And I showed them, case in point, I had this on my schedule for weeks to attend, and time sort of slipped away from me this morning doing other duties. So I'm making brunch for my son, who's getting ready to go to work. My husband, who's upstairs working and joining here as well. And I thought, oh, I wonder if I could do all of this. And so they put me at ease to say, you did this, you've done it successfully. You're here, you've joined. And that made me feel that it's okay. You know, so I'm just very appreciative.
Good. Yes.
Thank you. And thank you for listening.
Absolutely. I'm glad you're here. Who else would like to share what came up for you?
Oh, I would like to.
All right.
So I was in the room with Nancy and with Bud, and they're really warm, open people. And it was just, I felt like I've known Nancy for a long time. It was really interesting, you know, and Bud as well. Like, I feel like I met them previously, and this is my first time on this forum, so I know that's not the case. And what we came to the realization is that, you know, it's a cliche now, we're alone, but we're all together. But in fact, we talked about energy and how some people, you know, you walk into a room and they just make you feel so calm, so serene. And other people, they just zap your energy, the old term energy vampires. And that we can sense that people have an aura, people have energy, and we should be drawn, and it's healthier for us to be around people that are positive, no matter what's going on, to do things they enjoy, whether that's hiking in the outdoors or painting or playing an instrument or being with their grandchildren, whatever it is, you want to be around people that are doing things that make them happy, because you respond to that positive energy and it makes you feel better about yourself and what's going on in your life. So I think it's just really important to surround yourself with these positive people and be willing to share and learn from them. We can always learn something from someone else. So I really appreciated having that small group.
Wonderful. Thank you, Lori. I'm glad you're here today.
Thank you.
Who else would like to share? You can unmute yourself and start speaking. Petron, I think I see you speaking, but you need to unmute yourself. Can you do that?
Yeah.
There you go.
My name is Emi Irobi. EMMYIROBI, my surname. I live in a small town called Lithuania. Klaipėda in Lithuania. Uh-huh. Yes, but I am also a Polish citizen from African descent. I speak Polish. So nice to be here. I've been in your mailing list for quite a long time. And today I was glad to be here amongst you, sharing wonderful experience with people like this. I enjoyed the group with Nina and Mindy. And we spoke about mindfulness, gratefulness, rediscovering of self, what it means to somebody who is grieving, and grieving to unsuffocate, and grieving to bring out those things that blocks our avenue of reaching our potential, and salvaging the joy and strength that comes with all these new experiences. Because that is the most important thing. How do we salvage it? Because if we don't do that, and we cannot attain this pathway of the word we use there is transmuting our problem. Mm-hmm. And because it brings all the problem of identity and other things that makes it very complex. And, we ended by trying to resolve a divorce case, If two parties are, attempting divorce, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. How are we going to bring them together to that road of discovery themselves again, if they wish to come, that soul searching journey, and which of course ended in the usefulness of mindfulness and the little things that we do, which takes us to becoming grateful and the part gratefulness plays in our lives. So a lot of things, I thank Nina and Mindy for their wealth of experience, and I appreciate that. Wonderful. So thank you.
Thank you for sharing, Emmy. Thank you.
Yeah.
Who else would like to share? Feel free to unmute yourself and speak. Linda, you're raising your hand.
Yeah. Hi.
Hi.
We talked about things that as you instructed us to do, the stories that need to be released in order to move into the lightness, and our group we've all gone through a bit of loss recently, and we looked for those things that would reconnect us and allow us to move through. That loss was at the end, and music was one of the things that we talked about, because music connects to our heart and also sometimes takes us back to a very specific, usually really wonderful memory from our past, and so when we can use that music to remind ourselves of the good that we shared with that person or that thing that we had some loss with, and that kind of brings us back into that light place. And we talked about the use of the now, that our past is a reference for us. It doesn't control us, and it doesn't put us in a particular, except it allows us to move forward. And so we talked about those aspects, but we had a really, really lovely conversation, Deborah and Charlie and I.
Wonderful. Thank you. We have time for one more share before we're going to begin to close. Somebody feeling inspired? Share your thoughts.
I was able to visit with Angie in DC. And as we explored our grandmother's heritage and looked at our stories, we ended up wanting to share recipes. Yes, we had to let go of the things that hurt our grandmothers. Hers was a slave, and mine was an immigrant who was ousted from Denmark helping people make peace. And she taught me a term about called hussies. Both of our grandmothers brought seeds over in their bras. And they keep growing. They keep growing and connecting the stories and sharing recipes to bring us together. So she wanted to know if I had a recipe for pickled jalapeno peppers. So, I know, go figure. All of the heat gets our nasal passages open, and we can breathe as we pray and meditate and let go and carry on. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, we're going to begin our close now. I'm just putting a few links into the chat. The Peace Alliance is the host of these Hope Story Circles, and the Peace Alliance empowers civic action toward a culture of peace. And the website is there. Also, the link to Peace On, which is our podcast channel. All of these Hope Story Circles and other calls and sessions are on our podcast channel. So I invite you to check that out. Also, a link to our Blueprint for Peace. This is an initiative that's been going for several months now, I invite you to take a look at it, sign the blueprint. It basically is encouraging policy priority and civic action around our five cornerstones of peace, and to share it with your friends, share it with your elected officials. This is a lobbying tool. And also, we are a nonprofit. There's a link there for you to donate to the Peace Alliance. We appreciate donations of any size at any time. So with that, I'm going to hand it over to Liz to close out our session. Unless, Nina, is there something you'd like to share before we leave?
Well, speaking to gratitude, I am very grateful to not only share my story, but hear how it landed with others. And each person who shared, like, I felt like I could, like, it sparked something in me. I mean, pickled jalapenos, come on, that's amazing. So I'm inspired. I feel like I shared my inspiration and now I'm inspired by you. So just like, let it keep going.
Thank you, Nina.
When I was thinking about what I was going to say in closing, I was going to go a whole different way until Anna spoke. So now I'm going to try to weave both. When we talk about stories, 10 years ago, I started my own nonprofit. And 10 years ago, seven of the women and I, one of them is a survivor of the genocide in Rwanda. And so she asked us to accompany her to her beautiful country. And we took a trip 10 years ago to her beautiful country. And we decided we were going to share our stories, all of our stories, right? We sat there and in this space. And I had one story from when I was 19. It was something I had done that I held great shame around. It's like the worst thing I had ever done in my life. I never told anyone. I hadn't even told my husband. I held all this shame around this thing that I had done. And I decided in that circle that I felt very safe and I shared it. And my friends held my hands and said, "That's it? That's this thing you've held all this time?" And I said, "It was so terrible." And they said, and I thought about the fact that there's all this stuff we hold inside, right? Especially stories of shame, either things we've done or things that have been done to us that we hold. And if you can sit in a circle with someone who can hear and hold your story, how freeing that is. Mm-hmm. And when Anna spoke, I had been talking about the idea that I feel very drawn to hold, I've been holding the stories of my ancestors, and I'm using that, right? My aunts and my grandmother, all of whom held great pain in their lives. And I've been feeling this need to help transform their stories, right? To help them release pain. But when Anna spoke, I thought, I've been so focused on their pain, I haven't thought about the joy they all lived in their lives too. And I thought, maybe I don't need to only hold their pain, right? Maybe the way to release it is to, yes, honor the story of their pain and the story that they carried with them, but to try on purpose to think of the joys that they'd bought. And, you know, maybe that's a way we can like heal the generational things, right? That was so beautiful, Anna and Angie. Like, I loved that. And I'm sitting here now trying to think of the recipes and what my grandmother cooked when I went to her house. So Nina, I just want to thank you. I want to thank Yelena, as always, you know, our co-facilitator, and Terry for what you do so well. But I want to thank you guys for always being here to hold our stories, right? When someone can hear our story, how freeing that is. And then I was able to release this story, but also to remember that the stories we carry of pain are also interwoven with stories of joy. And I'm going to focus on those stories of joy right now. So I want to thank you guys all for the richness that you bring here every week. And I hope you go into the week really thinking, what are the parts of my story that I need to hold on to and embrace because it's so enriching? And what are the parts that I'm ready to let go? And I thank you guys all for this beautiful space.
Thank you. So everyone feel free to unmute yourself and say goodbye.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you for joining us today at Peace On. We hope that it inspires you to engage in dialogue in your larger community. Peace On is your source for inspiring conversations and information from thought leaders across the spectrum on topics related to the strategies of building peace, fostering nonviolence, and creating a world that thrives, shifting our understanding toward empathy, compassion, and connection. Peace On is brought to you by the Peace Alliance, found at peacealliance.org.